Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the Worldviews, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm executive director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. That's why I broadcast from my basement out here in Elbert County, Colorado, talking to 80 countries around the world, all 50 states, downloading this radio program around the world. And folks, we are seeing a major decentralization in media happening right now, and you are witnessing exactly that with this radio program. Major newspapers losing subscriptions big time. That, according to the Audit Bureau of Circulation over the last 6 months, New York Times has dropped 3.58%, LA Times down 5.2%, Daily News out in New York, 7.16% down, also Houston Chronicle's down 11.66%, Arizona Republic down 5.5%, San Francisco Chronicle down 7%, Dallas Morning News down 9%, on and on and on and on. Also, television viewers are dropping big time. ABC, NBC, CBS losing their constituency right and left as the online media takes off. 2.5 million less TV viewers in the spring of 2008 compared to 2006. A study reported in The Guardian in 2007 headlined with "Young networkers turn off TV and log on to the web." The television switch off in the United States among younger people has seen the average age of the TV viewer increase to 50 years old. That is the average person watching television today. 50 years old. Younger people are not watching television as much as they used to. Why? They're turning on the web. Blogs, YouTube videos, online broadcasting are all displacing the major media. You know, back in 1979, if you were a guy like me with an opinion, all right, and all you could do was mimeograph a newsletter and send it out to your friends. You know, you'd have 28 friends getting your newsletter. Well, not so. 30 years later, now you can broadcast from your basement to 80 countries around the world. You can have your own blog. You can upload your YouTube video and have 1 million downloads if it's any good. You see, we are seeing a major decentralization of the control of media. Call it anarchy in the distribution of information. Call it what you will. Whatever it is, it will profoundly affect culture, social relationships, and politics in the years to come. Make no mistake about it, my friends, we are seeing a Copernican revolution happening in the decimation of information. Well, leading the way in alternative media in the conservative world is WorldNet Daily. They cover stories that you will not see in your local newspaper. If you want to find out what's going on in the public schools, you'll find it in WorldNet Daily. Stories about teacher sexual abuse, homosexual indoctrination in public schools in California, German homeschool persecution. They cover stories like that. Investigative reporting on Barack Obama. Petty tyrants and the abuse of state power. You find all kinds of stories like that in WorldNet Daily. Updates on the Fairness Doctrine, which are, you know, efforts on the part of the left to shut down right-wing media. Radio talk show programs like this one. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, Joseph Farah from WorldNet Daily will join me on this edition of Generation. Stay with me. WorldNet Daily, Joseph Farah is next. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to Generations, my friends. With me is Joseph Farah from WorldNet Daily, now one of the news sources that we use regularly on this broadcast. Joseph, welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. You know, we really enjoy your editorials, your news source online, Joseph. And I caught your recent editorial on Barack Obama, and I just want to talk a little bit to the election because it is coming up tomorrow. Barack Obama, this is not your mother's liberal. You know, how would you describe him? There's a lot of descriptions out there. An African Marxist, a South American communist, an Ayers terrorist, an Indonesian Muslim. You know, what is this guy?
The most important thing to remember about Barack Obama as we head into this election, where he, you know, he's the leading candidate right now to become our next president, is that he is the most radical, I think in the worst sense of that word, a candidate who has ever sought the presidency in the history of this country. Mm-hmm. And that's a fairly long history at this point. He wants to fundamentally change the direction of the country, not just in a sense of a political sense of, gee, you know, we don't like what George Bush has done for the last 8 years, but much more significantly, as his radio interview that was recently released from 2001 shows, this is a man, even though he is a constitutional scholar, so-called, fundamentally does not believe in the Constitution. He wants to change it, and he doesn't want to just change it through the mechanism that the Constitution allows for, the amendment process. He wants to change it through the interpretation of judges and courts and through the legislative process. This is what I think is the most significant thing. We can talk about his associations all day long, and they are scary, and and they're dire, and there are all kinds of concerns, and you know, legitimate concerns about them. But if we simply judge Barack Obama, that's all we need to do to recognize that he is thoroughly unqualified and unworthy for office.
It seems to me that he likes the Communist Manifesto better than the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah, that's my, you know, I think we all as Americans should be able to agree on one minimal standard for a president, and that is somebody who upholds and reveres and honors and executes the Constitution of the United States.
Right.
After all, you know, they take an oath of office.
Yeah.
They're sworn in to do that. And so that should be the litmus test that we use. And Barack Obama, you know, fails that test miserably.
Well, why are 52% of Americans going for this guy?
Well, because Americans have been indoctrinated for many, many years, generations now, by a government school system, by a media that has no concern for ultimate standards of truth, like the Bible and the Constitution and things like. We live in a morally relativistic age.
Yeah.
So when a politician comes along and promises you goodies, which is the essence of what Barack Obama's campaign is, I'm going to take money from those rich guys and give it to you, that has a certain amount of appeal, especially when 43% of American citizens now don't pay any taxes at all, don't pay any federal income taxes at all. Why wouldn't they want to get some handouts from those evil rich guys at the top of the food chain?
Moreover, I read somewhere that 53% of Americans receive a check from the government each month. 53%.
Yeah, that's scary. And throughout, you know, we know throughout history that that's an unsustainable kind of system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially the kind of system that our founders gave us, one of self-government, limited government, and so forth. If you can buy votes, as you clearly can, this house of cards comes tumbling down.
All right, let's talk about the other candidate. I think I've read in some of your editorials that your confidence in John McCain is somewhere between 0 and negative 10. So you're not exactly enthusiastic about the other candidate either.
Well, I'm confident that John McCain is going to continue to be John McCain. You know, the John McCain that we know, especially the last decade, where he has fundamentally changed. He's redefined himself, and now he wants to redefine the Republican Party. That's been his mission in life for the last decade at least. This is the guy who the two previous presidential election cycles worked very hard, for instance, to try to get the pro-life plank removed from the Republican Party. This year, of course, when he got the nomination, suddenly he discovered that life begins at conception, and, you know, has tried to promote himself as a pro-life candidate. Clearly he's not, even in this campaign. He is supporting taxpayer funding of embryonic stem cell research. Here's a guy who says he believes that life begins at conception, but, yeah, why not experiment on embryos and use taxpayer money to do it. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of contradictions in John McCain. And what I like to tell people is you do not judge politicians merely by what they say, but you've got to look at the track record. And John McCain has a long track record we can study.
Yeah. So who's going to take this election?
Well, for months I have been predicting that John McCain would win this election. I have to tell you, as we get closer here, I have a lot less confidence that John McCain is going to win. But it's close enough at this point that I think you could pretty much flip a coin and have as much accuracy as I could predict at this point.
All right, so what happens? Barack Obama gets elected, or John McCain gets elected. What do we do for 2012?
Well, before we get to 2012, you have to look at what is likely to happen. And actually, the odd thing from my perspective, I've looked at this as a political historian, if you will, and wrote a book about this called None of the Above. It's the reason I'm not going to vote for either John McCain or Barack Obama. I believe in the next 4 years, whoever wins, you are going to fundamentally have the same policies. And if you want a good indication of why that's so, you look at how they voted on this $750 billion bailout of the banks.
Mm-hmm.
Where, in essence, what we've done is stolen $750 billion from U.S. taxpayers and given it to banks that had very bad practices, and we're going to hope they do better with their money that they've been given back. And furthermore, these banks were under pressure from the government to do these bad practices. It's a terrible thing, but both McCain and Obama supported that bailout. So, got a bad economic situation. It's going to get worse. Now, what happens in 2012 is if McCain is in power, Barack Obama will win the presidency in 2012. So, we don't escape Barack Obama because we get McCain. It's just a delayed course, and we have 4 years of misery under John McCain. If Barack Obama wins in 2008, I think we have a very good chance in 2012 of getting a Ronald Reagan kind of candidate from the Republican Party that will at least begin to reverse the course and change direction much the way Reagan did in a very positive way beginning in 1981.
Do you see anybody waiting in the wings right now, Joseph, or is that person's name yet to be released?
Well, you know, if we look at it today, there are a couple of names that pop up. One is Sarah Palin, obviously. She's she sort of came out of nowhere here, but, you know, I think she's won the hearts and minds of many people. I don't think John McCain would be in this race at all now without her on the ticket. Bobby Jindal from Louisiana is another young, promising conservative who I think would do very well on the ticket, either as president or vice president.
What do you think are the basic, most fundamental issues that we've got to address as those of us on the right today?
Well, boy, that's a big question. I think that what we've got to do is not even look at individual issues. What we've got to do is engage the culture.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying this for 30 years now. We're really not going to change the direction of the country through politics alone. In fact, as long as we don't engage the culture and we abdicate it, leave it to our adversaries to control, then we're going to be fighting a losing battle over time. The issues, for instance, in this campaign, would not have been serious. I mean, Barack Obama couldn't have seriously made the kinds of contentions that he makes in 2008, back in 1980. He would have been laughed at. The idea of his associations and so forth. He wouldn't have been able to get the nomination, let alone vie seriously for the presidency. That's because the culture has changed so dramatically since 1980.
Yes.
We cannot forget that. We don't really change the country every 2 years or 4 years with the political system. That's merely a reflection of how the culture has changed. And it's changing in a very, very bad direction right now.
Mm-hmm.
And until, I believe that, you know, people of faith, particularly in this country, that is, you know, the Christian church, needs to engage the culture. That means making movies. That means, getting involved in the press, creating new institutions like we've done at WorldNet Daily that can not sit around and criticize the culture, but actually do the job that the Christians are commanded to do.
Well, that's precisely what we're trying to do with this radio broadcast with the homeschooling movement, Joseph. And, of course, we've got some 2.4 million homeschoolers around America. But, you know, I think a lot of people look at us as being sort of fringy. If you're free market, pro-life, pro-homeschooling, you want a little less government. People just think of us as really whacked out, fringy right-wingers. Can we make a difference? I mean, do we make a difference?
Yes, we can. I wrote a book a few years ago called Taking America Back, where I was looking for, where's the movement that we're going to build upon to really take the country in a new direction? And I concluded back then, and I'm more convinced today than ever, that movement, without much leadership, it's a spontaneous movement for the most part, is the homeschool movement. I consider the homeschool movement to be the vanguard of a new revolution, if you will, in America. And it works in several ways. Number one, it works in a positive way because we're training up the next generation, even though it's maybe a small part of the next generation, to be self-governing individuals, which is what this country was all about in the first place. Without that background, they cannot be, you cannot go through 12 years of government school indoctrination and be a self-governing individual. That's not what they teach you to do. Homeschooling does. Also, when you have a next generation that's capable of leadership, what you come up with is, you come up with what Ronald Reagan called that, shining city on a hill, an alternative view that other people can look at and say, wow, I want to live like them. I want to live in that universe, and that's what we need to create. As our society decays and becomes morally reprobate and more corrupt, you know what? A lot of people who are part of that recognize it. They don't like what they see, and they want an alternative vision. So you got to create that for them. And ultimately, I think that's what homeschooling does. And also, there's one more component.
Okay.
As more people leave the system, the system at some point is going to implode, much like the old Soviet Union imploded in the early 90s. Enough people just say, no, I'm not going to participate in this evil system, and it becomes unsustainable of its own dead weight. And that's a good thing. That's the goal we want to achieve.
And I think it is a truism that it does not take the 51% to make a difference.
Oh,
it's
no.
Ultimately, that concerted, convicted minority that really pulls it off.
It wasn't a majority that kicked off the first revolution in this country, and it won't be a majority the next time either.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about media, because you're doing something very significant in media today, and boy, this was not happening in 1979. The best I could do was mimeograph, 20 copies of something and send it off to my friends. But today, you've got major newspaper circulations coming, crashing down. You've got NBC, ABC, CBS not maintaining the same monopoly they did some 10 years ago. So, major media, the monopoly is starting to crack.
Yes, I was a newspaper guy. That's all I really ever wanted to do as a young man, and I did it, and I worked in the major media for 25 years. Did it basically everything you could do in the newspaper business, from being a reporter to running the news operations and so forth. And I never dreamed I'd see this day come when the Christian Science Monitor just announced their folding up its print edition, going strictly online. We're going to see more major papers doing that. That would have been terribly sad news to me 20 years ago because, if we didn't have an alternative media like we do now, internet-based, that would have meant fewer voices out there, less competition. But I really believe God gave us this internet for this time.
That's right.
And we've got to use it to maximum advantage. There's so much more competition in the press today than there was 10 years ago, and that is a real blessing for us. So in that sense, you know, I wrote a book called Stop the Presses last year, and I proclaimed that, look, we're winning the battle of the media, you know? Stop throwing stones at these archaic old dinosaur networks and stop worrying about what they're doing. We have an opportunity to do the job right now, do the job better. Patronize those institutions that are doing it. Stop worrying about what the other guys are doing.
Yeah, exactly. How many hits do you get on WorldNet Daily?
Well, we're primarily concerned with two metrics. One is unique visitors. That means different people who come to the site. And in the course of an average day, it's about 350,000 different readers.
Wow.
Over the course of a month, it's about 6 million.
And boy, that's incredible.
Yeah, so it's a great reach. Like you.
And that's up from zero 15 years ago.
That's right. Yeah. Like you, you know, 12 years ago, before we started WorldNet Daily, I was publishing newsletters, reaching, you know, 10,000, 15,000 people. When we started WorldNet Daily, literally in the first month, we recognized we had achieved a much bigger audience than we were able to through all of those kinds of processes, and that's why we decided to devote our full-time attention to the website.
Joseph, what you're saying here is there are tremendous opportunities awaiting us, and the battle is not over. You're very hopeful, aren't you?
Oh, I am. I mean, you know, again, my book, Taking America Back, is one of the most optimistic books ever written. Makes Rush Limbaugh look like a cynic by comparison. And that is because I have, you know, I have ultimate faith in the Bible as being true. And so, you know, I know that we serve a sovereign God who's in control of the universe. There's a plan, and we need to do our part. But guess what? There is going to be total victory, and I'm happy to be a insignificantly tiny part of that, but ultimately it's God who's empowering us to do anything at all.
Well, it's a replay again and again in world history of the David and Goliath contest, and it's amazing how many times David pulls it off.
Well, he doesn't do it with his own strength.
That's
you
right.
know, I mean, he couldn't possibly have aimed that stone so perfectly, but he did his part because he was obedient to the God of the universe, and that's what we have to do. We have to take that step that God commands us to take toward our adversary and be on offense, not on defense.
That's right. And WorldNet Daily has certainly gone down to the brook and found one good round stone, and I think you're making a good shot at this, my friend.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the encouragement, Kevin.
Yeah, you bet. And we want to direct everybody to worldnetdaily.com for a news source. It's a very, very important news source for the modern age. Thank you very much, Joseph, for joining us on Generations. It's been very, very good. We appreciate what you're doing, and God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless.
Well, folks, as we wrap up the program today, I hope you've caught the optimism in the voice of Joseph Farah from worldnetdaily.com. And that is the same optimism we like to express on this radio program. Yes, we like to be brutally realistic, but we also are outrageously optimistic about the future because we've got a vision for the next generation and the next. Ladies and gentlemen, you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Please get your friends and family members tuned in to us at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast some vision for the next generation.